There will never be a perfect time for you to do what you really want to do. You just have to go after it, no matter like what you're faced against, the circumstances, the network, you know, whichever, and have faith that you can put in that groundwork to get where you want to be.
Welcome to The Remarkable Leap. My name is Julia, and I'm here to guide you on your journey towards becoming a brighter version of yourself. Every week, you'll gain inspiration and wisdom from our guests on how to embrace your fears and take your own leap of faith in your personal life or in your career. We each only get one life to live. Make it remarkable. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Remarkable Leap. It's your host, Juliet. Today on the podcast, we have Mike Fox, an internationally published lifestyle photographer and founder of The Fox Magazine. While in college, Mike made the life-altering decision to move to Los Angeles to pursue his dreams and travel across the world with his photography. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good. How's it going, Juliet?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for coming on this podcast and sharing your time with us. So I know that you have a really incredible story of a leap that you took in your life when you moved out here to LA to pursue your photography dreams and your entrepreneurial dreams as well. So why don't you share a little bit of background on that?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first off, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's always great to be able to tell my story, especially on a podcast like this that talks about the leap. You know, my journey kind of starts off, I guess when I was 18, that's when I started doing photography. And since 18, really just tried to learn more every day, shoot more every day. And 2016, I got serious about it. When I was about 22, I was still in college. And I decided to take, you know, a remarkable leap. And, you know, I was traveling in college doing photography. It's actually gave me the opportunity to travel all around the world, doing photography for like brands and different people and stuff like that. So I'm really blessed and thankful for that. And that's when I decided, I was like, I really have to pursue this and I have to go all in on it. I have to invest all my time, all my money, everything that I can to continue doing this because it's what I love. So in 2016, that's when I really took the remarkable leap and started doing it full time. I was actually still in college. I was a junior. And I remember actually there was a moment where I was like, do I really want to do this? I really questioned it because I'm pretty much the only photographer in my family, especially that took it as serious as I have. And it really just made me think like, do I want to go against the norm? Do I want to really live this kind of abnormal life, I guess, because, you know, a lot of my family hasn't even traveled across the world. So it's just really interesting to kind of see how it all played out, looking back on it. But yeah, all started in 2016 from doing photography. I then launched my magazine, which is a lifestyle magazine called The Fox Magazine. And it's available in digital and print. It's available in digital and print. There's about 14 publications now since 2017. But yeah, that's also when I really started taking everything serious. And I was like, you know, even if I have to get, you know, a part-time job or whichever to continue to make it work, that I was going to go all in on these dreams. And that's what I've been continuing to do so far.
Yeah, that's incredible. So I guess, I mean, I have a bunch of questions stemming from that. But first of all, what was your family's perception of you doing photography? I know you were doing it in school and you were traveling already, but what was their kind of perception of you doing photography? Were they supportive of it? Were they wanting you to go into a different career path?
Yeah, it's strange actually, because I wouldn't say they didn't support it, just because they actually helped me buy, well, my mom and my brother helped me buy my first camera right after I graduated high school.
Oh, wow. Very supportive. That's awesome.
Yeah, very supportive. It wasn't like a super fancy camera or anything, but it was definitely something to get me started. And I'm extremely grateful for that because without that camera, I probably would have never invested all my money myself to get one. So, that started it. So they were pretty supportive from the start. But when I started traveling and just like doing all the abnormal stuff, that's when it started getting, you know, a little more like hesitant about the support. And like I said, I wouldn't say they didn't support me, but it was just like, are you really sure you're making the right steps, the right moves for this photography thing? But they really didn't understand, like, I had to travel to continue to build my portfolio, to do the work that I had to do. especially like when I went to Greece. So I actually went to Greece for my photography in 2016 as well. I was still
yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience. Like, I really can't even believe it happened sometimes. But yeah, I was still in school, and I actually had to, I think I had to miss like the last week of class.
Oh, wow.
So I took my finals early, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that I can remember. I took the finals early, like a week early, and ended up flying because I had to go to a different country first. Then ended up going to Greece, and I was there for a full summer taking photos for a company called MedSailors, which basically does like vacation tours for people that mm-hmm. travel all across Europe to come to Greece and Croatia and Turkey. So they do tours all around there. And I was doing photography for that company, creating like marketing materials and stuff like that. So yeah, that was really like the first time I kind of seen some resentment for me doing photography, because you know, I had to not only had to figure a lot of stuff out to make the travel work, but you know, when I told my family, they were just like, are you really sure you need to do this, like to make your photography work?
But were they just scared of you traveling so far away or going to a different country, or what was their hesitation?
Definitely. It was actually my first time in Europe, so they were scared about that. And then they were scared that, you know, something would happen when I was in Greece taking the pictures. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, there's definitely some stuff that almost did happen that was bad for sure.
Yeah. Oh no. Well, glad you made it back safely.
Yeah. Like I almost drowned over there. I actually learned.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I learned how to like really swim over in Greece. And yeah, that trip was just so crazy. I almost lost my camera, ended up getting it back.
No.
But not my main camera. It was just like a little camera that I used. But it was an underwater camera, so it meant a lot to me. But I almost lost it. So yeah, it was just a crazy experience. But yeah, just me going over there. They were scared about that, and then scared that I wouldn't make it back. Scared I wouldn't finish college. Just a whole bunch of thoughts running through their mind.
Clearly, you wanted it a lot. I mean, you took the initiative to take your finals early, make sure you had everything wrapped up back home so that you could pursue this opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was definitely like kind of a struggle too to figure it all out. I had some last minute things I had to figure out as well before the trip, but ended up working out. So I guess it was meant to be, right?
Yeah. Was there a lot of money that you had to invest on your end to be able to make that trip, or was the company sort of fronting everything? Was that like something that you had to consider for yourself?
I definitely had to invest a little bit just because the accommodation, they covered a lot of the accommodation, but I just had to get there. So that was pretty much the investment that I had. But, you know, I had a place to stay. My food was covered the whole time. And then I was still getting a stipend, you know, on top of everything else. So.
Gotcha. So that was like your first big international travel. And then you start getting booked for all these other things. What was the decision to finally, I guess, focus all of your energy on this, and then also to move out to LA?
What's crazy is that same year, it was like a few months before that trip, I went to Los Angeles, and that's when I really got inspired and got the spark to like take things to another level. It was the first time I went out there in 2016, and it changed my whole life for real. I met so many people, and they told me, they were just like, if you want to really do this, this is the place to be. You don't necessarily have to move here just yet, but like, if you want to take it to that level, this is definitely the place to be. So I just took it into consideration. And then I took that trip to Greece in the summer, and I was like, yeah, this is exactly what I was supposed to be doing.
Wow, that's amazing. So what was going on through your mind? Did you have any concerns? Was there anything else that you thought maybe you could do instead of photography or instead of moving? Or was your mindset just like, I have to do this, this is my opportunity right now?
That's a great question, actually. Honestly, I would say I felt like I had to do it. You know, especially after that Los Angeles trip, because, you know, I worked with so many people, and that was before, like, I was really even doing the work I do now. It was before I was really working with any brands or, I mean, I did some work for companies and people and things like that, but it wasn't really high scale. So when I did some work in LA, I was like, yeah, this is the turning point. This is when I really need to step it up.
And what was that experience like for you? I know you're from like a small town in the Midwest, moving to like a big city. Was that a rough transition for you, or was there anything that was really striking for you that you weren't expecting, or just adjustments that you had to make?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. A lot different than the Midwest. But if I didn't go out there before in 2016, honestly, I would have been way more lost than I was. There were still a lot of things I had to figure out and some things that caught me off guard. And then some people I met too that really just like made the move a little bit harder than it should have been. But
oh no,
there's always things that you run into, right? So I'm not tripping over it, but yeah, it was pretty difficult, you know, getting your tag switched over from the DMV. I really had no idea how crazy that is.
Just all the logistical nightmares of working with the DMV and the government in general, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I spent so many hours in the DMV just because, like, I would forget a paper that I needed or something and have to spend another 3 hours in the waiting line. So just little things like that that kind of just added up, making it a little bit difficult to move. But overall, I would say it wasn't too bad. You know, I had already seen the palm trees, I already felt the vibe. So,
yeah,
you know, I was really excited to be there. Yeah, I mean, That's all it was when I moved. Like, I was just like, I'm here. I made it. This is what I worked my whole life for. You know what I mean?
Totally. And did you have any sort of community out here? Did you have a network of other photographers or clientele to work with? Or were you sort of building from the ground up when you got here?
I only had a network of about 10 people when I moved out here. So it was mostly building from the ground up, to be honest with you. And yeah, I mean, it's been pretty solid, like, groundwork since then. Doing collaborations, there's a lot of times I was working with people for free just to kind of network and understand how everything worked in LA. So yeah, it was a mixture of that, definitely. A mixture of you know, working with people for free, you know, just trying to get into events and spots to see how everything works.
Yeah, totally. I think that's so important, just to be able to meet other people. Sometimes you have to do that work for free, and I think a lot of times people wonder, like, when they're thinking about taking the leap, going into their own freelancing work, they think, oh, well, should I wait until I have this whole, you know, list of people that want to work with me and I can jump into this knowing I have basically like a full-time salary? Or do I need to just take the leap, you know, do some things for free and just kind of hustle until I'm able to build that up, but still knowing that you have to take that first initial leap?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, there's never going to be like a perfect time for you to take the leap. Like, never. Like, in my opinion, yeah. There will never be a perfect time for you to do what you really want to do. You just have to go after it, no matter like what you're faced against, the circumstances, the network, you know, whichever, and have faith that you can put in that groundwork to get where you want to be. And that's exactly how I approached it.
Yeah. Was it tough for you? Like, were there any moments where you were like, I don't know how I'm going to pay rent next month, or I don't know, like, if this is worth it, should I move back home for a little bit, save up, or do something else?
Oh, hell yeah, for sure. Like, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say that biggest moment where I questioned everything was in 2018. I was actually about to fly back to Nashville to do my friend's wedding. I'm talking like my friend that I've known since middle school. He wanted me to photograph his wedding. So it was a pretty important moment, pretty special for me. And, you know, the week that I was flying, I had my gear stolen out of my car.
Oh, like, my God. You're kidding.
No, not joking at all. And it sucks, too, because it's like I didn't just leave my stuff in my car for people to come just steal or anything. I was actually about to go do a photo shoot an hour later, and I was hanging out at my aunt's house. So I was over my aunt's house for like maybe an hour or less, and they broke into my car within an hour and stole my photography equipment.
Oh,
and I was just like, I was broken for real. Like it literally took a piece of my heart with it, because there's photos I'll never get back that were in that car.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not tripping too much off the equipment because I can always reinvest. I've been reinvesting in my business since, mm-hmm. you know, I was 18, but as far as those memories, like that's what matters to me, and I can never get those back. So that was definitely a point. I was like, I don't really know about it anymore. So, yeah, I mean, I was really broken around that time. So for about 4 months, I really wasn't even shooting. I was trying to like reinvest, get some more equipment and stuff like that. And I had insurance, but the crazy part about that too is I just switched insurances. So my individual items were not registered on my policy. Dang. So I couldn't even replace my item. So I was just like, wow, this is this is basically rock bottom. Yeah,
that is heartbreaking. What is it, do you think, that got you through that really difficult time and made you think, like, you know, this is still my calling. This is what I should be doing. I shouldn't let this one setback, you know, hold me back forever. What pushed you through?
Yeah, so a few things. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, listen to a lot of music, and I read quite a bit too. So a combination of all those things really helped me through it. But the main thing was listening to Nipsey Hussle. And I've been listening to Nipsey since, I'd say since 2015, right before I really started getting serious about my photography. I listened to him and it really just inspired me to a new level as well. And this was right before he had passed away too. This was, you know, this was about 4 months because he passed away in March 2019. And this is like 4 months before that. So I was listening to him like really strong. And I was just like, you know, things happened because he talked about his equipment getting raided like by the cops and they took all of his studio equipment and stuff, literally tens of thousands of dollars. And he worked his way back up and got his own studio. So I'm like, you know, I'm listening to it. I'm like, I know this is possible. I know a setback isn't a sign for me to just quit completely. So that's pretty much how I went.
Yeah, that's awesome. You took inspiration from people that you admire and you just told yourself that you could do it. And, you know, you're still here in LA doing photography. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And I mean, it's definitely been a challenge too. Like, you know, I traveled, I still did that wedding. I actually rented some equipment and still did the wedding for, you know, my friend and everything. And then, you know, I actually got to reinvest to get some of my equipment back from doing that wedding too. So it was like little blessings that I had to notice, you know what I mean, along the way. And then I kind of took a step back from LA for a few months as well. And like I said, reinvested some gear. But then, you know, I was like, I gotta continue this journey. So that's what it's been.
Totally. I love that. And I guess talking about reinvesting in your gear, I guess a big question for a lot of entrepreneurs and freelancers that are starting off, they don't know whether, like, should I wait until I've made enough money from this thing to start buying nicer gear, or should I invest up front so that I can get better gigs, I can take better photos, or whatever their craft may be. So what was that experience like for you? I know you mentioned, you know, your mom and your brother gave you your first camera. Was there other equipment that you told yourself, you know, I have to buy this on my own before I can start getting good gigs? Or what was kind of that process for you to be able to build up your gear list and everything that you needed for your business?
For sure. Great question. And I will say, like, you know, no matter what you do, if you're an artist, entrepreneur, whichever, you're going to have to invest in your business at some point. So it's always good to think about that and think about ways you could use your money more efficiently. It's funny too, because like, I always wanted tattoos. And I remember telling my brother about this. I have one brother that's like 5 years older than me. And I remember telling my brother, you know, I wanted a lot of tattoos and stuff. And he was like, man, we just got you this camera. Don't you think it'd be better to invest your money into that?
And wow. That really called me. You out.
Yeah. No, seriously. And it really stuck with me too. And like, to this day, I don't have any tattoos and I've always wanted them, but I invested into my business and into my photography before I ever did any of that. And it really just like the fruits of the labor really paid off. And I thank my brother for that too, because like you said, he called me out, like, for real.
really gave you a lesson that stuck with you.
Yeah. And, you know, just been reinvesting since. But yeah, so basically my path along investing, it always came over years. So I never really invested in a lot of gear without knowing how I could use it and how I can make that money back. I did that one time and I learned my lesson from it. So I think this was like before I even started doing it professionally or anything, because you got to learn, right? But this is maybe 2 years before I started doing it professional. I had bought like four lenses and I think it was about $2,000 or something like that, which if you want a really good, like a super professional lens, it'll cost anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 just for that one lens. So this was really just me starting out and wanting to see how I could use the lenses. So I got four different lenses. And I ended up only really using one of them like all the time. So all the rest of that money, I ended up like selling the lenses. One of them I couldn't sell because I broke. And oh, dang. Yeah, so sold the other two, kept one and then broke the other one. So that's when I learned my lesson. I was like, I really don't need to invest in gear unless I need it. So I should probably try it out first, do my research, read the reviews, things like that. And that's when I really started reading more books. That's when I started doing YouTube more, listen to podcasts more. Basically then, yeah, because I learned my lesson about just reinvesting in things I didn't need. So yeah, every few years, you know, I try to really evaluate what could help me elevate my business. And I'm actually in that phase right now where I'm about to get some new equipment to take the photography to another level. So yeah, I mean, it's really just like a consistent buildup. And I was super sad when they stole my gear because that was like gear that I saved up for like 5 years. You know what I mean?
Dang. Yeah. That is like your hard earned equipment that was just taken from you.
Literally.
But I think you bring up a good point in terms of doing your research and testing things out before you just make an investment. I think there is, you know, to a certain point, you do need to just invest and get yourself some good equipment, but it's also smart to make sure you're getting the right things that you're actually going to use and is actually going to make good returns for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, anything that you're really passionate about and you're willing to invest in, it'll come back to you one way or another. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. So I guess going back to your experience, like those initial first few months of being in Los Angeles, what was that like? Was it like a super exciting time for you? Were you constantly working on different projects, or were there like periods of time where you just weren't doing anything? What was that actually like in terms of time that you were actually spending doing photography and working on your craft and building that up?
It was a very interesting time in my life, for sure. It was very challenging, but also like very rewarding. And I felt fulfilled, you know? So yeah, it was like, you know, the first few months were actually pretty terrible. I'll be honest, like just trying to adjust. And it was in like the heat of the summer too. Also, it was very rewarding too, because like I said earlier, you know, I felt like I finally made it. I felt like I worked my whole life for this. So when I first got here, I was like, yeah, this is it. This is lit. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. But then, yeah, like things come at you off guard, like, you know, DMV stuff. I got a lot of parking tickets.
Oh, my God. Los Angeles and their parking tickets. It's like a rite of passage, basically.
I'm serious. Like I've paid over $1,000 in parking.
Oh, tickets. No. No joke.
So, yeah, it's just stuff like that. Just kind of adjusting to the way of life. Not necessarily, you know, to my way of life, because I pretty much always had a schedule and a regimen and ways that I just stay focused. But learning how to adapt to my environment was pretty challenging, because, you know, it almost feels like a permanent vacation sometimes.
Right. Yeah, I think that's so interesting to talk about, because like you mentioned, this excitement of being in LA and knowing that this is what you want to do, but also talking about some of those difficult times. And I think even for me, like when I quit my full-time job, it was so exciting. I was like, I have all this time to finally do all the stuff that I want to do. But at the same time, there are still those periods where I'm like, oh no, what did I do? Like, what am I spending all my time with? And now I have to like confront all these things and figure it out. Or it's just not as glamorous as one might think. It's not like I have suddenly all this time that I'm filling up doing all these things I want to do. Like sometimes I just don't know, or I don't know what the next step is. And you kind of just have to be okay with that and embrace it, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. No, like this entrepreneur journey isn't for everyone. So, you know, I encourage everyone to try to have like something they're passionate about and try to make money in something that they're passionate about. But at the same time, being a full-time entrepreneur is not for everybody. So you pretty much have to become like a professional dot connector. There's so many things you have to figure out, so many pieces you have to put together. And if you're not willing to do that, you're going to fail as an entrepreneur. And I mean, that's just the way it is. You got to be in it for the long haul. You got to be willing to understand, hear different perspectives, and embrace everything around you too. Because, you know, being an entrepreneur is just about being able to adjust.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think it's a lot about like being your own biggest advocate sometimes, because I know in like the freelancing world, obviously, when you're talking about like setting your rates and your hours and stuff like that, like no one else is going to ask for as much as you're going to ask for yourself. And so it's like that constant having to negotiate, having to like find opportunities for yourself. It doesn't just come to you. It's not like a normal 9-to-5 where you just get paid a certain salary and you just do the certain work. It's like you constantly have to be on the lookout for yourself.
That's the crazy part about it. It's like being an entrepreneur is not for the weak. you really have to be like focused every single day, or, you know, it's not going to work out the way you think it is, because it's just so much. It's so much to be a boss. It's so much to be a business owner. Not to say it's impossible, but, you know, there's a reason why they say 99% of people are normal, and that 1%, you know, make a lot of money. It's because it's not everyday shit. Not everybody wants to do that. So, yeah.
Totally. Well, that's awesome that you took that leap. And I'd love to hear a little bit about what, I guess, you're currently up to. I know you've been in LA for about 3.5-4 years now. So where has that leap of faith really taken you on your journey to where you are now?
It's really changed my life as far as what I thought I was going to do, what I'm currently doing, and then also affecting the people around me too. So talking a little bit more about the magazine, because, you know, photography is the focus and it's my passion. But when it comes to being an entrepreneur, like, the magazine is my main business and, you know, my focus and my go-to for entrepreneurship. But I started that because it was a source of inspiration for people around me and around the world. Because when I was traveling and doing all these photos and stuff in Greece and LA and Miami and all these different places, people kept on asking me, like, what camera do you use? How do you do this? How do you do that? And I'm just like, I want to create an outlet. So not only people won't ask me those questions directly and they can, you know, kind of get an understanding of a brand and how that works, but also to help bring all the other impactful people and brands around the world into one place. So that's really been my focus on the magazine. It's just like bringing all these people together, this community, to help impact and inspire other people as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And to be able to create resources for other people in case they're interested in trying it out on their own.
For sure. For sure. And that's also a reason why I have an internship program as well. So I have an internship program that opens every single quarter, and it's open to literally anybody. I mean, you pretty much have to be in college or you have to graduate college, but it's a great opportunity for people to learn not only the media industry, but also give entrepreneurial resources as well. So people that have interned for me have went on to start their own businesses, advance their careers, and some have joined my internal team as well. So I'll just give you an example. I had an intern that was from Italy. She was interning from Italy, and she ended up finishing the internship. I got her a recommendation letter, and she got a job from MailChimp. And it's crazy because MailChimp is the email provider that we use. So for her to get a job from the recommendation and from working with us and actually getting to move to the US on a work visa is just extremely crazy.
Literally gave me chills. That's so cool.
That's what I do it for right there. I want to do it to help people get further in their journey too.
Totally. That's awesome. So you're taking all the lessons that you've learned through these past few years through your entrepreneurial photography business and sharing that with other people. I love it. Thanks so much for chatting with me. I just have a couple of rapid fire questions that I like to end every episode with. So the first one is, what piece of advice would you give your younger self before you had taken your leap of faith?
I would say learn every day. There was a point in my life when I was younger, I'd say probably around like 19 or 20, where I thought I really had it all figured out. Like, I had super credit, you know, I felt like I was so ahead of my peers. And then I realized, like, there's so much left to learn, and to feel like you know everything kind of makes you stupid. So I really had to, like, reevaluate, you know, how I talk to people, how I approach situations, because I want to learn as much as I can at the end of the day. And I had to reevaluate all that to be able to take in that knowledge and embrace what people were trying to tell me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that. I think there is once or several times in our lives where we think we know everything and we have to be rudely reminded that we don't. So I think that's a good mentality to have. So the second question is, what's one thing that went massively wrong when you took your leap, and how did you recover from it?
Really, the equipment getting stolen was like, that's peak things that went wrong. You know what I mean? And there's really nothing that triumphs that, because, like I said, that's years of work, memories that I'll never get back. And it really almost made me quit doing photography. So I would say that's the biggest thing I had to overcome. And now, you know, I have another camera, I have, you know, the gear, my laptop, everything that I pretty much had before. But yeah, it taught me a lot about myself too. Like, just keep going.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's great that like your worst case scenario, you've already been through it and you've already come out on the other side a lot stronger. I think that's like a huge testament to your character. And also just like, it probably is just like, okay, well, I've gotten through this. So anything else is really just not as big of a deal.
That's how it feels. Seriously. Like anything could happen and almost feel like I could take it on, you know, head first, but I don't want to jinx myself. I hope nothing worse happens than that.
Yes, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And then the last question is, what to you makes someone remarkable?
I would say persistence, honestly, because there's a lot of people in this world that talk about things they're going to do and say they're going to do this and that. But when you actually do it and you stay persistent, you stay working on it, you stay consistent, that really makes you remarkable in my eyes, because there's 100 reasons you have to give up and to quit. So for you to keep going and overcome those 99 or 100 reasons, you know, you have my respect for that.
Amazing. Well, I think that is a good place to end things. If people want to find your work, if they want to intern for you, anything like that, look at your magazine, where can they find you?
Yeah, so you can find me at www.mikefox.photo. That's where you can check out my photography work. And if you're interested about the magazine, you can go to www.thefoxmagazine.com. And for internships, email us at info@thefoxmagazine.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you again so much for your time, Mike. It was wonderful having you on the show, and I hope you have a good rest of your day.
You too. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Remarkable Leap podcast. If you like this, please show your support by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and share this with a friend. It would help so much. Thanks again, and I hope you have a wonderful day.